Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting...
Oh! Let him play!
He wins. Great steak. Smells like poop.
Honestly, like if Urban Meyer wants to come to Connecticut, bring him on. I mean, come on. I'll take him too.
Nia Jackson, I think, weighs 280 pounds.
Oh!
Can we isolate that clip? Nia Jackson weighs 280 pounds. Oh!
Let her play.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here from the Dave in the City studios in quarantine Southern California. Good to have you with us for the big A to Z show. Good to have you. It's good to do this again. We had a little bit of a break, actually, but you may not notice that as you see these podcasts come in, but we did, and now we're back in action, and I think we're going to address something to that effect tonight in terms of how you come up with material when there's no sports. And we've been doing that so far, so good, you know, so far in this series with the anthology. So far, so good, right? But beyond that, we wanted to take a moment to break down some of the technical nuances behind how a podcast works. And to help me with that, I got a friend, Jaron Piscataway, and we're going to get into the behind-the-scenes look at podcasting, the things that go into it, the technology that's involved, the topics, the format, any kind of prep that we would do for a particular show, how we come up with ideas, how you coordinate the guests, you know, people, your friends that you want to get on. All those details will be covered here tonight in the special A to Z show, which now takes us up to the letter P. Podcasting is the topic tonight, and we're going to talk about the ins and outs of it. And it's something that many people have asked about over the years. You know, what goes behind a show like this one, and what goes behind a show like my friend Cap's show, which just started a few months ago. Let's bring him in. Actually, you know what? This is how crazy this is. I guess it a few months ago. Didn't you start that in March, Cap? But welcome to the show, Cap. How's it going tonight?
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, I believe it was the end of February.
Okay.
It was my first official show. But yeah, and it's pretty ironic you're bringing me on because you were the one that I went to when I wanted to start podcasting, and you were a big help. So
thank you. I appreciate it. It does sound pretty good. Like from in terms of formatics and like the just technically speaking, it sounds like a good show. And so I'm really happy that I was able to help with that. The thing about it what's funny about all of that is that we had such a great phone call about this back in February, and I was like, I could have just recorded that, and that would have been a great podcast by itself. So, you know, Who would have known any of this? Like in February, like I would not have had any idea about what was to come. But
yeah, me neither. Believe me.
right. So we have the time now, obviously, to talk about these kind of things. And something that our fan bases, our respective fan bases, and not necessarily just your show, but like your Twitter too, have probably wondered about, like what goes into a podcast, like what does it take, and all that. You had the same questions a while ago. So before we start, I wanted to get a little update on what's been new with you. Like, how is your show doing? What are you doing to fill the time? Like and what's happening on your end?
Yeah, so I mean, it's been a little frustrating. I mean, I've been coming up with content, but the frustrating part is being a new show and generating listeners, generating content. And I had so many different ideas of the way that I was going to grow the show this year. I mean, you know me with my Yankee fandom and my personality, and you know, some of the funny things I do, funny things I say. A lot of my friends, when I was starting a podcast, they said you absolutely have to live stream yourself watching games, because with me, it's not an act. You know, whether it's April or whether it's October, I'm locked into the Yankees, and you know, I'll either get really mad sometimes or really happy, and you know, my emotions to some people, I guess, are funny. So, but it's been frustrating because I had so many different ideas. I've did a lot of legwork before the show to kind of correspond with some people. I had some merch ideas. I had some giveaway ideas. I bunch of giveaways all lined up for different series and different events that now are not happening. You know, I'm a frequent guest at this bar in the Bronx across the street from the Yankee Stadium called Billy's. I wanted to do some things there with some of my listeners, and I thought I'd be able to build a good show based off the content I had an idea that I wanted to do. Over the past couple of years, you know, Twitter was never a big, you know, follower thing for me. It was never about me getting clout and wanting thousands and thousands of followers. Then over the past year or so, just from interacting with Yankee Twitter and some of my baseball takes and Yankee takes, I started, you know, gaining hundreds and hundreds of followers. I don't have thousands or anything like that, but it was a big jump from just having like 150 followers to now close to 800 in the span of a year. And I thought, okay, if I can do that on Twitter, give me another baseball year, I can probably, you know, get some more followers and get some more people listening to the podcast. And I would hope that it would grow with some of my different ideas. And it just hasn't been able to happen for obvious reasons. So that's been the frustrating. I don't have like that fan base. Like, you've been around forever, so you probably have people that listen to you weekly no matter what.
It's probably not, but I have to say it, it's probably not as big a group as what you have already. Because the problem for me is that I don't have a centrally grounded topic. And I'm not a big enough name to be one. Like, a lot of podcasts from big famous people, they're big enough deals where they can be the topic. And I'm not. I'm just, nobody knows outside of like you and me and friends of ours. Like, who knows who I am? Like, I have no show on TV. I'm not on the news. I mean, so nobody knows what the hell Dave in the City Out West is when they look it up on the podcast.
It's a good listen, though. Like, even though, like, the majority of my podcasts are like Yankee stuff and some other stuff, but I listen to a lot of your guests and a lot of your shows. It's definitely a good listen.
Yeah, thanks for that. And I'm very proud of what we've done over 10 plus years. I really am. And that's pretty much the only thing that I've always felt was missing all this time was an audience. Like, more than like the friends that we have now, who have been great. But in the end, it's really not about how many people listen. It's about what we do. And so it's been a fun, like you said, and what's interesting is that, and I guess this is a tribute, maybe you could call this a tribute to me, but I think it's a blessing where pretty much everybody that I know who's listened to it has basically said the same things. Like, man, this is like really, really good. Like, it's a good show, da da da. I really like how real it is, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm very proud of that.
And it's not hard for you to get guests either. It seems like a lot of the people that you bring on are eager to come on because they're multiple. They do it multiple times. You know, they come on. You know, I've been on, you know, many, many times.
Yep, yep.
Obviously, other people have been on as well. So, I mean, it's definitely a good show. And for me, recently, it's been more of a distraction and an outlet to record. You know, listen, my ultimate goal is to grow the show. I've always wanted to carve out a little niche with, you know, the Yankee fan base, because I've been a diehard fan my whole life. It's my passion, and I'm, in my eyes, one of the biggest Yankee fans on the planet. So I wanted to, you know, put that on a podcast so for others to enjoy and others to listen. But it recently really has been just an escape, you know, with the quarantine, and you turn on the news and there's, you know, pretty much every day there's been bad news, at least in my area. A lot of deaths, a lot of new cases, and scary thing is we don't know when the end is going to be. You know, I don't see it anytime soon, at least where I am. So, you know, if I have an hour, or, you know, if I have a marathon show for 2 hours to talk Yankee baseball and to talk baseball, it's such a distraction, and it's something that it's a passion of mine that I enjoy doing. And, you know, even though right now we're not growing, I'm still having so much fun doing those shows and just talking baseball and just evolving as a podcaster. I mean, if you listen to my first show, to the shows that I'm doing now, I told you, I said, I give you so much credit in the world. I wanted to podcast on Tuesday and put the show out Wednesday morning. I didn't get done doing the show until Thursday because I couldn't get it took me a day to do a 15-minute open, man. I was stuttering over words. I was, you know, forgetting what I wanted to say. I was saying things wrong. It's not easy.
No.
It's not easy. And I think some people think that. And maybe for some people it comes more natural. Who knows?
No, exactly. I mean, it comes out of it comes out of practice. Like, you should have heard what the show sounded like 10 years ago. If you go back to my page and go all the way to, like, 2009 when I started doing them,
It probably didn't sound that different from what you did for week one. It was
it was tough. Yeah. And that's what I like doing now, is obviously, aside from just being able to get away and talk sports and talk, you know, baseball, which I love, it's evolving my podcast, and it's getting better at doing what I do and getting more comfortable with what I do. And I think that you'll see within my, you know, last couple of shows, I sound a lot more comfortable than I did in show one and show two. And obviously, you know, I did a solo show for show one and two, I believe. And then show three, I had a guest. So obviously when I did my guest, you know, it was rough and I need to learn how to, you know, do that a little better. And then I had other guests on and I think I've improved. So improving, it's although I'm unable to grow because there's no sports, this gives me a platform for almost like practice, that when we do have a baseball season in 2021, a full baseball season in 2021, God, I hope so, I will have enough practice to really hit the ground running where I can, where some of my ideas can come to fruition and I can, you know, put things in motion that I wanted to do this year. So, I mean, I'm looking at a lot of this as practice. Yes, I do want to grow. I do want people to give me feedback and, you know, hopefully enjoy my content. But it's been hard with no sports, and a lot of people have other worries right now. You know, even though podcasting and listening to podcasts are a distraction, you know, a lot of people have different stresses. You know, my stresses went from worrying about Judge's shoulder to worrying about my friends and family staying healthy and worrying about work and worrying about a lot of other things that have been on hold. So I hopefully, when everything gets back to normal at some point, I can, you know, grow this podcast, have a bigger reach to not only Yankee fans, but baseball fans in general. And hopefully, like I said, carve out that niche that I've been wanting to carve out.
Yeah, I mean, you're on the right track. I think the thing that I gotta share with everybody here listening is the beginning of a podcast is an idea. And it's always like, what is your idea? What is your purpose? And I won't speculate too much about what my purpose was. I think I went over that during those best of shows, but the idea was just to kind of let the fans be the voice of the show. Whereas, you know, a lot of the sports talk shows are kind of centered around a host, and I kind of did it the other way, where I'm like centering it around the call. I would say the callers, but they don't necessarily call. We just kind of prearranged the people to come on. It was a very interesting experience, and you know, just to your asking about, you know, talking about people who've been on, and I'm very blessed. Like it sounds like it's just naturally everybody can just talk and be really good on the air. That's not true. That's really not true. I know plenty of friends who haven't really had that kind of gift of being able to be entertaining and then informative at the same time. So the people that we've known over the years, and people you know too, we're very blessed in that regard.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's what it's things with podcasts that attract people is obviously personality, but content's huge too. I can't tell you how many podcasts I've listened to, whether it's baseball or Yankee podcasts. And, you know, some of the content might be really good, but the personality just wants to put you to sleep. And then there's other podcasts where somebody has a quirky, funny personality, but they don't really bring much content to the table. So for me, I don't want to listen to a podcast and say, you're wrong with that opinion, you're wrong on this, you're wrong on that. You know, I want to listen to a podcast and learn. You know what I mean? I want good content and somebody who has a pretty good personality. I'm hoping that's what I can bring. I'm not, you know, believe me, I'm not Mr. Know-it-all. I love debating with people, and I love getting other people's perspectives. Mm-hmm. But for me, I want to bring a personality with my Yankee content that hopefully will attract other listeners. Yeah. And that, you know, with you, you have that. You know, you have a good personality. You sound good on the air. You got good content. So you have that in your podcast. Not everybody does. And like you said, a podcast is an idea. I've been wanting to do this for such a long time, and I was just super intimidated by what needed to be done to do a podcast, the equipment, and I'm not very tech savvy, and what I would need to do to get on the air, and you know how I would get on the apps and different things like that. And thankfully for you, is you broke it down very easy for me. You gave me a program that was phenomenal that pretty much does everything for you. I have a mixer in there. It uploads all my streaming services. It's phenomenal. And I have to thank you for that, because that was my biggest thing. I've been wanting to do this for years. I've sounded off about my team on your podcast for years. You sent you guys voice notes about my team for years. And I wanted to do that on my podcast. I want to, after a big win or a big loss, to jump on for 10 minutes and do a video podcast, whether it's being extremely happy or yelling and screaming, ranting and raving, something that I think fans could relate to. And, you know, hearing what you guys, what you did and your guest did over the years, I've always wanted to do that, but was just a little intimidated. But now, thankfully, you helped me to do that. I have the platform, and I'm trying to, I listen to a lot of podcasts and different kind of podcasts. I'm trying to pick on what I think is what I like in other podcasts and what I don't like in other podcasts. And I try to bring that to mind while doing it in my own unique way. So I haven't gotten to the point yet, because there hasn't been any sports and there really hasn't been much to react to, where I think people out there haven't really seen my personality. They haven't seen how I am during the season. They haven't really seen exactly who I am. And that's frustrating too, because I don't want somebody to listen a couple times and be like, oh, you know, it's all right. You know, I want somebody to, you know, kind of listen and know who I am, you know, how I get. Right. And I want to make some people laugh and give people some good content. Because behind all my, you know, rants and raves and everything like that, it comes from a place of reason. You know, I'll always come with stats. I'll always come with opinions, with information to back it. I don't do a ton of hot takes, although I just did a whole hot takes episode, because all I've seen on Twitter over the past week or two has been hot takes. So I figured I'd, you know, get that debate going. But yeah, man, it hasn't been the easiest road with no sports and a new podcast.
Have you tried any, like, have you attempted some other, like, off-topic type themes for your show, similar to what I'm doing with, like, this whole anthology, where maybe not so much what's happening today and the day-to-day, because there is no day-to-day, but, like, what two things. Like, one thing you could do is if you thought about doing, like, a Yankee game of the week, like, some, like on this week and blah, 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 or this game that was really great, and you could reminisce on it. It's sort of like classic games that you see on the TV networks, but you do it for a game that you remember, and it doesn't even have to be an obvious choice, but get somebody that you remember watching the game with you, or somebody you know, and then talk about this moment in Yankee history, something like that.
Yeah, so for me, I if I had an audience, or if I had a show that was kind of, you know, on for a while, and I had, you know, a decent following, I would love to do so many different things during this quarantine. I mean, I'm into, you know, a lot of different things. I'm into music, I'm into food, I'm into liquor, I'm into TV shows, movies. So I would love to do a show just bantering on that stuff. But it's a Yankees podcast right now. It's a Yankees podcast. And right now I don't have the following where somebody who enjoys listening to me will jump on to hear me talk about my favorite TV shows I've been watching. You know what I mean? I mean, that's okay. And as far as what you said too, I have done something like that. Me and Lou actually did a show that was a lot of fun. We did our top five Yankee calls. So whether it was Sterling, Joe Buck, Bob Costas, Gary Thorne, whatever it was. So we listened to the call. We broke down pretty much, you know, if it was a home run call, whatever it was, we broke down the situation, the game, pretty much where we were. And I wanted to do a subject because whenever a big moment happens in a game, like even very weirdly, I know exactly where I was for certain games. And I wanted to do big moments and where you were and why you remember it. I wanted to do that at some point.
That is a really good topic. Now I got to go back and check that out, because that sounds like a really good one. Let me ask you this. In that top five, did the Castillo dropping the ball end up in there somewhere?
No, that didn't. I actually did a podcast episode with Frank the Tank Fleming.
Are you serious? You got him on the show?
I did. I'm trying to get as many people on the show.
I thought you hated that guy, though.
No, not me. I always enjoyed him. I never had him. I don't know if maybe it was Fids that didn't like him because he didn't like war or something. I always thought Frank was hilarious, and he was, like, harmless. So I've always, you know, talked to him on Twitter, you know, every now and then. And I have a group chat with a bunch of my friends, baseball fans. Some are Met fans, some are Yankees
fans.
That's
interesting. He's a Met fan, though, right?
Yeah, so what we did is we did our top five Subway Series moments from both sides. So I obviously had five Yankee moments. He had five Met moments. And the Castillo thing was on my five Yankee moments in the Subway Series. But that was a lot of fun, you know. Yeah. And you know, Frank has a pretty big following, so I was able to get some listens there. And I did another show with two pretty big figures in Yankee Twitter that, you know, got a lot of positive feedback. So that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to grow and get people on. I've reached out to some bigger names, some, you know, not a lot, but one or two did answer me back. And I hopefully eventually in the future I can get them on the podcast. Just right now is not not the best time, and it's Yankee related. So, yeah, I mean, I have a lot of different things I want to do. But yeah, man, it's been, like I said, I don't want to sound like a broken record. It's been hard and frustrating as hell because I had so many good ideas, because this isn't – I didn't just, you know, think about doing this overnight. This is something I thought about doing for years. So
yeah,
I can
feel the curtain back. I think that's very true.
Yeah.
You really had a lot of ideas. I remember this.
So I've had a lot of ideas on, you know, what to do as far as moving forward. The big thing for me, I know you and I have discussed it. Fids have discussed it. I've discussed it on Twitter, is merch, man. A lot of the Yankee merch out there is so damn corny. There's so many bad designs and so just cringeworthy. Like, I would never buy any of that shit. Like, I bought...
That's all you. I don't do merch. So I think that's very... I tried a t-shirt shop one time, but merch is such a different dimension. Like, you have a better feel for merch than I do. So I trust you much more.
Yeah, I feel like I would
scenario.
Know what, like, Yankee fans would like, because I think I know what I would like. And some of the stuff out there that I see is just cringeworthy, man. I just don't understand how people would buy that. And, you know, I think, you know, I've had ideas over the years of some shirts that I would have done, but obviously at the time I was like, oh, I wouldn't have the capability to do that. Now with things on the internet, they have, like, sites where you can create shirt designs, and this site will print it for them. They'll take a piece of the profit while getting the shirts out, things like that. So I had ideas for the season, for coming into the season. And there were just so many corny shirts, and, like, you know, listen, Barstool is a behemoth with everything that they do, but their merch is horrific. I mean, their Yankee merch is so damn bad, and I still see people buying it left and right just because it's Barstool. And I feel like I could do so much better merch-wise in them and some of the other people putting out merch. So that was one of my big things. I wanted to get a little bit of an audience, put out some merch, spread it around Twitter and Instagram, get some kind of a buzz there. And I really think I would be able to, because I wasn't going to put out these shit shirts that you wash once or twice and a large goes to a small. You know what I mean? I wanted to put out those shirts that have kind of like a soft feel, almost like a soft, stretchy feel, with you know, the nice screen print and the nice printing on it. And, you know, it would have been a little bit more expensive, but it would have been worth it. I bought a Savages shirt. There was a million Savages shirts out last year, and they all fucking sucked besides the one design that had the old school Yankee logo with the top hat and the bat. And that was, I thought, was awesome. And that really, that sold out a lot. So that was the only shirt I bought. The other Savages shirts were terrible, terrible.
Yeah.
And color wise, I mean, they all do the same color. It's just white and blue, white and blue, white and blue. Like, I just felt like I can do so much more. So that was one of my big ideas that unfortunately is not getting off the ground now. So,
well, let me ask you this. I guess we'll just leave it at that. I was going to say, like, what would stop you from doing it now? Like, just what if you just did it? Obviously, you don't have to worry about the game. So it's like, you could sell it. It's not like you have lots of time to design something. So that's
So I wanted to, and I don't know if this is the right way to go about it, I kind of wanted to generate some kind of a following. So I was able to do that. Now some people will say, you can create merch that will generate the following. I think you're thinking about it backwards, though.
I think you got to do the merch to generate the following.
That's what I've heard, too. But also, a lot of things happen organically in a season. Like the Savages stuff last year. Yeah. Like, I had some really good ideas for Savage shirts that weren't out there. And I think I could have put together a good Savage shirt. I had another shirt. I mean, I could do it now. I had another shirt as far as it incorporated basically the Yankees winning and Frank Sinatra that I think would have been a really big seller. I have all these ideas on my phone. And I guess I could do it now, but I feel like with no baseball, I don't know how many people will rush to buy those t-shirts if they're not going to games and they're not watching baseball. I feel like if the season was going on, it puts people, even I have friends who are like casual Yankee fans, and when the season was getting ready to start, they're sending me texts of, yo, I'm going to buy this jersey, or yo, I'm going to buy this t-shirt, I'm going to buy this. And, you know, before the season started, they weren't really even thinking about doing that. So I feel like a baseball season will be a lot easier for me to market and sell. Plus, you go on Twitter now, there's not – I mean, yes, there's a lot of sports talk, but it's all the same shit, man. It's all right. Your top five this, your top this, the worst this, the best that. And I don't know. I don't know if this will be the best climate to – I want to release it at a time when baseball is going on and there's banter about baseball. And, you know, I used to be on Twitter 24/7, you know, because there would be news. There would be sports news. There would be updates. Now there's nothing. So I don't even use Twitter a whole lot anymore. And I feel like a lot of people are the same way. So
a lot of people
I don't know if right now would be the best time to try and do that. I want to do it when there's a season coming up or a season starting and, you know, pretty much everything is at its peak. People are excited for baseball. Baseball is going to start. There are games going on. That's when I want to do it. If people want to buy some T-shirts to wear to games, things like that, that's when I'd want to do it.
Yeah, all right, I got you. So,
and I had to figure out how to do it, to be honest with you. I mean, it's all ideas.
It's not,
so first things first was
you'd have to talk
obviously
to
getting
else.
My podcast. Yeah,
I wouldn't know.
First thing first was getting my podcast down.
Yeah, and no, then and that's an important point. Like, you can't worry too much about merch until you've developed a rapport with an audience.
Right.
I feel like you don't even get there until you've gathered some kind of momentum. And so let's talk about that a bit. So we've talked about coming up with an idea for a show. So you have an idea for a show. You have a platform. And your platform is, I guess I've interpreted it as, obviously, it's Yankees Talk, right? But there's thousands of shows that do that.
Sure.
But maybe your angle on it is... See, that would be the interesting pitch for you. Like, what would be your angle? Like, what makes you different from the other shows?
I mean, you know me better than when it comes to sports, better than a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think you guys have all had plenty of laughs at my expense, whether it was me being happy or mad.
Right.
We went to a game together. You know, you saw me live in action.
We did. Unfortunately, Phil wasn't with us, so that was a shame of it. I wish he was there. That would have been great.
So I think what set me apart. Now everybody can say, you know, they're a big Yankees fan. For me, why I wanted to start this is because I think things that I'll say or things that I'll do will get laughs and will kind of catch on. Like you saw with the board over the past, you know, 10 years or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, some of them, you know, people pretty much make memes of me about things that I say. You know, the Knicks Swisher is weak thing still lives to this day.
Yes,
people still
does.
Bring it up. So I think, you know, for me, I think it would be, you know, big time passion and really rational and fun content. And obviously me being, you know, younger-ish, you know, going out to games and going to the bars and just, you know, maybe even doing a quick 5-minute video podcast from my Billy's while I'm ripping shots before a game, getting everyone a chant, let's go Yankees. Just, I think I would have a fun podcast and, you know, things that I've done on Twitter and on different message boards over the years that have, you know, people have enjoyed and people have had laughs at and things have caught on and things have pretty much, you know, turned into memes for years. I think I could bring that to a podcast.
Okay.
Like I said, I do listen to a lot of, you know, not only Yankee podcasts, but a lot of other podcasts. Mm-hmm. And personality is huge, you know.
It is.
Personality and content are the two things. And that's what I think that I'd be able to bring, you know, to my podcast. But like I said before, unfortunately, I haven't been able to really show exactly who I am because we haven't had anything to really react to besides horrible injury news and horrible, you know, virus news. Mm-hmm. And even the injury news, it was a brand new podcast, so I tried to not go overboard and with yelling and screaming and whatever it is, but you know, screw it. If we're 6 months into a season, you're gonna get the me that you've seen for the past 10 years on Twitter and on the board. So.
Right. So let's talk about the length of a show. Like, how do you determine the length of a typical podcast? So what do you feel like is a good length, and how do you come around to that idea? Like, how did you decide on that length?
Well, I feel like, for me, if a show is good, I'll listen to it for 2 hours, even if it's an increment. Even if I listen to like 45 minutes driving home and then like an hour at the gym, I'll listen to it, you know. But I understand this generation, a lot of people have ADD. So they don't, and even I had a guest on the show that was like, to be honest with you, he's like, I wouldn't even listen to myself for over an hour. He was like, it's no offense to you or whatever. And I was like, no, I get it. It's fine.
Yeah.
So I tried it. Some shows, like I had a fantasy baseball show that was super long.
because there was a lot of content there and I had four different guests. But that was my idea, was to break that up into four different parts and basically release that pretty much every day leading up to the weekend, because a lot of people have their fantasy drafts over the weekend. But when the quarantine hit, I was talking to some people and they're like, no, release, I want to listen to it. I want to listen to it. So I released all 2 hours of it in one day, which I don't know if it was the best idea, but I did it, you know. And if people listen, I have had people did, people have said to me, oh, I listened to the whole thing, which is great. So, I mean, I would, my ideal timing for a show would be around an hour, 45 minutes to an hour. You know, but when you have a guest on, sometimes that goes way overboard. I just had a show with two guests that we did for 2 hours, but we didn't really have a concrete topic then. We kind of were just, you know, because of the quarantine, because of what was going on in baseball, that was the day that Rob Manfred came out with his plan for Arizona. So we spent, you know, a good 45 minutes on that, and then there were other topics I wanted to get to that took another 45 minutes, and then between that and wrapping it up, it was, you know, over 2 hours. So
Yeah.
And that's, you know, with being a new podcaster, having to pretty much get the train back on the tracks and kind of, be a host, you know, and not let people, you know, talk long, and even myself, you know, not let me ramble on and talk long. And it's something that I'll get with time. So, I mean, answer your question, ideally, I would like to do between a 45-minute to an hour show. I think that'll be good, where people aren't bored and people aren't overwhelmed. And because believe me, there are podcasts I listen to that are maybe an hour and 45 minutes, where I'll listen to an hour, then I won't get around to listen to the other 45 minutes, and then a new episode will come out, and I'll just listen to the new episode.
That's an interesting thought.
But if it's like a fan, like I listen to fantasy football podcasts that come out in parts too, so I'll listen to like a 2-hour fantasy football podcast, like, and a season preview podcast, like ours. Like, I want to hear about every division, so I'd listen for 2 hours, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's those random, those shows where, you know, the topics are all over the place that I might not listen for 2 hours. So ideally between an hour, maybe hour 15, 40, 45 minutes, like an hour 10 or whatever, I think that's good for a show.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in alignment with you with a lot of that. First things first, I think anything less than 45 minutes is too short. It's like you can't get to the topic. You can't cover a topic in enough, like with enough detail to be worthwhile in under 30 minutes, unless it's just like some of those shows I was doing by myself, like the other, you know, like a week ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, other than that, I can't see a show really giving you something worthwhile in under 30 minutes. And a lot of shows are trying to be 30 minutes, and I'm like, you're not going to get the full breadth of the show. And like, what's stopping you? Like, get the these market numbers or something? You don't have commercials. It's like, there's no restriction with the commercials, or there's no agenda like from corporate to tell you what to do. So I feel like 45, or for me, I would be like 50 to an hour is the ideal time for a show, unless it's a really dense show. So a good example of that would be the football pick shows. Those are dense shows, right? Because we're really doing two shows, if you think about it. We're doing a college football show, and then we segue into an NFL show. And it's really actually two shows, just that we happen to put it all into one show, one like actual MP3 file.
Right.
So those can be like 90 minutes. But longer than that, it gets a little dicey.
I agree with you. And to let you in on a little secret, when I first got Spreaker, I didn't really know what I was doing. Mm. And the program that I got only allowed me to do like a 45-minute show or whatever. Yep. And it worked out good for like the first two episodes, I wouldn't even say good. I was like, I'd start to feel the pressure when there was like 9 minutes left. I'm like, shit, I got to wrap up and do my, you know, do my outro and do my closing or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that kind of gave me anxiety. And I said, you know, I can't work like this, and I'm going to have guests on, and I don't want to be rushing them on and off. So I went ahead and got the, you know, I think like 3 or 4 hours recording time, whatever it is, and I'm never going to do a show that long. At least I don't think. And I mean, it's very, very difficult, because you do your open, and then you're 10 minutes into your open, and then you bring the guest on. Then what, are you only going to talk to your guest for 20 minutes? I mean, it's hard.
That is tough. Like when you have, that's 45 minutes does seem pretty tight when I think about it. Like you really want to get into your topic. Like you have the time. I consider podcasts to be like the public broadcasting of sports radio, because you're not constrained by like artificial barriers, like updates. and commercial breaks and callers. And I'm sorry, Mike, but callers don't do it for me. Like, callers make up his show because he doesn't put any effort into his show. But that's why it works. But yeah. for you and me, well, usually we go into a show, we have an idea of what we want to talk about, what we want to get into that night. And I think that you made a good point earlier when you were talking about how you can't have a podcast go yo-yoing up and down and doing going all over the place. Granted, I do a thing called Random Questions where we basically do that, but...
But it's questions. It's all questions. It's not
right.
You know, that's not a bad... That's a segment. That's a cool segment. I always like
that. Yeah, and I concur with that. I mean, and the other half of it is, of course, Kevin's doing them with me, and that's why it works so well, because he's got such a breadth of life to talk about. Yeah. And he's such an interesting guy. That's why it works.
Yeah, I agree.
You're really listening to is him. I mean, in all honesty, and I'm helping a little bit, but so you're right. I think personality really drives it, and I think even within that, we still end up doing some kind of a theme. Like if you kind of have a theme, sort of, in there. Like I think with each episode, I can come up with like a takeaway. Like, well, this is we kind of got into this tonight, and we kind of got into that tonight, and the next.
And for me. No, you're and for me, like right now, it's difficult because we're all over the place, really. But my theme would have been just the day to day games. Like if I did two shows a week, it's to recap the games that happened and to look forward to the games that are about to happen and whatever injury news, whatever whoever's playing good, bad, good decision, bad decision. That was my outline, and that's a very easy outline. And I had different ideas for different segments. I tried to do. You know, this is while baseball was still going on during spring training. It was the gun to your head segment, like Mad Dog Russo and Mike Francesa used to do. You know, remember, gun to your head, Mikey, you know, would you do this, would you do that? And it worked out really well for the first week. I did a gun to your head segment about Judge getting an extension or not. Because that was at the time.
I like that you got your friends involved in that, though, asking the same question of them. That was – I happened to listen to that particular episode.
Yeah.
That was a good call. It's kind of like a – what would you do scenario? It was a good idea.
I got 70 people on, and this was my like second or third episode, and I had 70 people respond, which was really good, really good. And I thought that segment, if baseball was going to happen, would be, you know, if I was able to do that once a week with different scenarios, I thought it'd be a lot of fun because I see a lot of that on Twitter, the different polls and things like that, and I thought it'd be a lot of fun. And now we can't really do it. And that's another thing is, you know, having segments all planned out that I can't even do right now. And I don't want to stop podcasting or wait for the baseball season because, one, I enjoy doing it. Mm-hmm. And I want to, like I said, practice and get better. And then once it's game time, I want to hopefully be better at this craft than I was, you know, when I first started. So it's been an escape. It's difficult.
It is a challenge. And I'll tell you, even I have expressed difficulties with this. Even with a plan, with an idea, with like 26 letters to work with, it's still a challenge because especially this week, it's just been tough to really get motivated to do a show. And I'm really thankful you were willing to come on tonight. That does help for a lot, definitely. And there are those two shows I did where I just didn't feel like any real, you know, I was just like, man, this is just getting kind of rough. And you can't move. You can't go anywhere other than to the grocery store.
Yeah.
And you're like not in the mental state of mind where you want to be doing, you know, yucking it up with people.
Of course. Yeah.
And then so you go and you realize you got to still do a couple of little, like two couple, you got to get to like another letter where you have a big idea.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you end up just doing a really basic show just to get you to the next part of the week, the next part of your schedule.
That's kind of what I did last week.
Is that right? You did one of those?
Yeah, I didn't have any guests, and I kind of just wanted to go off what I was seeing on Twitter, a lot of hot takes. So I gave three hot takes for me, and I had people submit some of their hot takes, and I gave my opinions on them, and that was pretty much the thing,
you got to make a show like that short. Like I feel like any show like that, it's got to be, that's the ones you do want to be short.
Like a 35 minute. I think mine was like 30, 37 minutes or something.
I would do less. Yeah. I think the second one was 30, the first one was 15.
Well, that was the day after Hank Steinbrenner died. So I kind of had my reaction on, I did my intro, I had my kind of reaction on that. And then once I got into the hot takes, it was probably another 20 minutes. So, yeah, it was, it was one of my short shows. And with sports, too, before the season was starting, there was so much energy. There was so many people talking about baseball. There was so much energy.
That's the shame of it. There's so much juice. We're going to have such a good season. We had so much juice, and now it's gone.
I would go to a grocery store with a Yankee hat on or Yankee hat on or hoodie on, or I'd be walking around my neighborhood in the Yankee hat, and people would stop me and talk to me about the Yankees. And that's kind of what I was hoping to grow my podcast with as well, was, once baseball, like I said before, once baseball started, everybody's into it. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's watching it. And if I have my podcast out there, I would hopefully gain some listeners just from people being excited and people enjoying the baseball season right now.
And
because there are people, not a lot of people like me, you, Faze, who are diehard and want to listen and talk about baseball 24/7. Right now, a lot of the focus is on the NFL draft because baseball is not doing anything. So there might not, somebody who might have listened to my podcast today, if baseball was starting, might not want to listen to it today. Might want to listen to anything about football because there really isn't much going on about baseball. And,
You could make the point, Cap, that even if the season was normal, like if we had had a regular season at this point, there wouldn't be a lot to talk about right now because it's only like, we're only like, what, 2/3 through April at this point as we record this?
But it would at least give us a topic every day. And that's what I love about baseball. It's like that long soap opera.
I think the one thing you could have done with this show like this is... You could have definitely ramped up to a big event. Like, for example, if somebody was about to come off of an injury and make the first start of the season, you could have really talked that up. You could have set up the moment. And that's when, like, sports, anything is at its best. Sports, podcasting, broadcasting, whatever it is. And that it would have been a really good function for a team-specific show.
I agree. And I had so many different things set up. I go to a lot of games. I'm very fortunate. I have friends who like the Yankees and friends who like to go to games. So I go to a lot of games with a lot of friends. And I have things set up where I'd be able to give people basically, what's going on in the stadium, what the vibe was, things like that. I can give a real firsthand.
Quick question. Okay. So this is something I've been wondering about. So would you have been recording reports from the field in the stadium? Like, would you have actually tried that? Because that'd be tough to do.
No. What I would do is, for fun, like, quick Twitter videos after a home run, like, what the crowd is, or me going nuts, or, even, like, me at Billy's, for the game, doing shots with my friends or whatever.
Okay, let me follow up with that. So you may have noticed that with shows, you tend to get like a core of like three or four people that end up contributing on the show with you.
Yeah.
Who have you decided on, or have you decided on that little rotating crew of people that can be part of your stable to cover the season, to do the things, to talk about the big events and the small events? Because I really think that if you did come up with like three or four buddies that were consistently on the show with you, you would have like a really interesting group. And then people would follow that, and it would be really interesting. Like, everybody would bring something different to the table. You've had some good guests so far, but who would you say could be in that group to get into all the stuff that you're just talking about, too?
I agree with you, and that was kind of my point to do this, is, I've been talking about baseball and Yankee baseball on social media, Twitter, message boards for years, and
let me put it this way: like, who would be on your short list right now?
Right. So really what I was gonna get to was, I had a couple people on. Lou was one of them. I think Lou would have been a big contributor because
I love that.
Yeah, Lou's that's like a great me. Choice. He lives and dies with every game. He's a big time Yankee fan, he's like I am. So I think he would have been a contributor often, and I had a guy or two off Yankee Twitter already that got a really good positive feedback, and I have some people who I haven't put on yet that I'm kind of waiting to put on for when we're able to get the season, able to get momentum, that I think people are really going to like. And I have friends that people on Yankee Twitter don't even know that I think that they're going to like, friends of my real life who are big Yankee fans, who I think would be fun on there. And that's the other thing where I have to really kind of decide if I will gain more momentum doing a show where I bring on different Yankee guests all the time, or if I have, like you said, maybe two or three personalities that I mesh really well with and the audience likes, do I bring one or two of them on full time? And that's something that I think would have happened in time. And,
yeah,
you know, the
yeah.
show will take some time to mold. And, yeah. you know, like I was getting at before, if I was planning to potentially go to Houston for the series in May, I was going to Baltimore for opening day, I was going to New York for opening day, I was going to do so many different things where I'd be able to have basically firsthand experience at these events that I can talk on and broadcast from and do giveaways and merch stuff. And I have a t-shirt made right now. I'm not going to say what it is because I'll tell you off the air. That I think would be a very, very big seller. And I showed it to a couple people and they're like, yo, I want 10. So, but yeah, I mean, I had all that stuff lined up and hopefully the show's going to have to evolve and it'll eventually get on the tab that it should get on, whether it's me bringing on random guests or if it's me bringing on, you know, a handful of guys that the audience listens to, you know, those would be my main contributors. I don't know.
Let me help you with that. I think you start off rotating a bunch of different guys. And this is
how
it happened
for
me. And I think you don't know who those... You can't decide on three guys now. Like, you get to know some of these guys over several podcasts, and you're going to find some might be a little bit tougher to have sustained, you know, numerous shows, and some will be very easy to talk to over numerous shows, and you just don't know the answer to that yet because it's so young in your podcast life. Yeah. But it's an exciting time for you, and I think you're going to find that information. You're going to find out which guys have the rapport. It's not a stats thing. Sorry, I don't want to put this on Fids at all.
No, I can't.
But you'll know how easy some of these guys are to talk to.
I agree 100%.
And
you have a good
it
rapport.
With the information
I agree.
And everything.
I agree 100%. I have, like I said, I do have some people of mine who you guys don't even know. You know, they're friends of my, you know, my personal life who love baseball and who I banter with about baseball every day. And I think that they would, my personality and their personality, I think would make a fun show. So. That was, you know, I'm glad you hit on that because that was kind of going to be my next hurdle. Once the season started, what direction to go in. I think I will have a lot of repeat guests because I do think that people are going to be excited about, people will like, you know, some of the people I've already brought on or some of the people I plan to bring on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that would be a decision down the road whether to kind of make it exclusive to me and a partner and bring on some of the guys or, basically just keep it revolving. I don't know. You know, we'll see how it goes.
You know, the next question when it comes to trying to grow the brand, grow the show, is do you do a big website? And I think my answer to that question is no, because I think the shows that I follow myself, the ones I subscribe to, they don't have big websites. They just, just basically people tell you about them. Maybe they have a Twitter to tell you when the show's on or what the link is. But ultimately, my way of getting to the show is just by going to the, you know, Apple Podcast app and getting it. And it seems like, doesn't it seem to you like word of mouth seems to get you to a lot of the subscriptions you have anyway?
Yeah, that and social media. I mean, there's no websites are needed these days for stuff like this. It's all social media. So I created a TikTok. You know, for this, I created a TikTok and I created an Instagram account for my podcast. So obviously I have my Twitter that I'm using. Yeah.
Before we continue, are you going to have two Twitters as well? You're going to have LGY Pod Twitter?
No.
Oh, come on. Why not?
Well, this is the thing. Like I've built up my Twitter following pretty well over the past year. Like I said, I never was a big guy. Like wanting all these followers, I literally, you know me, I would post rants or post in all caps.
I got you, have fun with it.
And then I really started talking baseball with people over the past year or so. And I went from having like 203 followers to now around 800. So I don't want to create a whole separate Twitter and then try and build that up and have like 250 followers.
Okay, so here's my second question then. Would you change the name of your Twitter handle or your Twitter name? To help accommodate and connect the show better.
It's possible. Absolutely. Okay. I was thinking about that the other day. Like if mid-season things were going really well, I probably would have done that. I would have made it, you know, obviously it would be me, but it would be a lot more podcast centric. So a big thing is, you know, an Instagram account was big too. I created it not too long ago. I created a TikTok.
You'll get more juice on Instagram. That's true.
Yeah. And now I'm putting in some different content on there and now with, you know, there's not many highlights. I'm digging back in the past couple of years that, you know,
the only unfortunate thing about the Instagram is you don't have titties. If you had titties, you would get thoughtful followers.
Dave, it is. I cannot believe you said that. I was talking with somebody the other day. Dave, I can't tell you how many, I don't want to be mean, but like just say decent looking females will post the most basic takes and get 600 likes. And I'm like, that is absolutely absurd. Absurd. Like somebody literally will post something so basic and everybody will be like, oh my God, you're so right. Oh, I nailed it. And it's all dudes. And that just, I said to my one friend, I was like, that just confirms to me that Twitter is a bunch of horny males. Like it's crazy. It's crazy. I've never seen it before, man. It's literally the most, one line, the most basic takes, the most basic takes.
Yeah.
Whether it's I miss baseball or so whatever. And they'll get like 350 likes. And I'm like, you gotta be shitting me. It's, I can't believe you said that because I said that to somebody the other day about building the podcast, and I was like, "Yeah, if I had a chest, maybe I'd be able to get 1,000 followers in a day." You know? But the good thing is, you know, with the Instagram, I put together a TikTok video, a Stanton Homer with like a song in the background. Mm-hmm. It got 549 views.
And I
literally just did it.
That's good. So your social, other than the titties, your social media game is strong. This is good.
Well, right now it's getting there. I'm still trying to put as much content out as possible. I only have like I just started the Instagram account, and for anybody listening, if you want to go follow it, it's the LGY Pod on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I just started, and I have about 290 followers, which is not that great. But again, you know, I have to build my brand. You know, these other big Yankee podcasters, they didn't create what they created in a day or even in a season, and I haven't even done a season yet. So, and that's what kind of opened my eyes, like I said, with the Twitter, is I started getting hundreds of followers on Twitter just from, you know, my takes and, you know, talking Yankee baseball, my debates, and I'm hoping to bring that to a podcast and my Instagram and grow everything, and that's why I need a fucking baseball season to do that.
Yeah, I gotcha. So, and you know, in terms of the technical stuff, you talked about how easy that's been, and that's great, and I guess my question to you is, now that you've been through it, what would you recommend to the aspiring podcaster in terms of what they can bring to the table, and what do you think it would take to start their own show? We talked about how having a message and a topic and a theme is a big part of it, and that's probably the bigger thing. The technology part is probably not that big a deal, because it doesn't. Just to put that in perspective, listen to the shows that you listen to. How many of them are using like studio, like radio station recording? Yeah. Like very few of them. Like they just get a microphone in their laptop and they put it in the laptop.
There's some people who go a little overboard, but for me, for what I do, I didn't think that was needed. I just started my last podcast, I said I'm going to want to start to do videos, like, and to post like if like I have you on the show,
we
can do like a Skype video. I want to be able to post that along with the podcast audio.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I mean, you don't need these elaborate studios to do a podcast these days anymore.
The only reason I do it is because I'm such a geek with that stuff. But I really know it deep down inside that honestly, what you say is more important than how you deliver it.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah, and I would just tell people that having a passion and a topic is number one, because listen, you'll be all geared up and excited to start it, and you might do five shows, and do you get bored? Do you get burnt out? Do you still want to do it after 2, 3, 4, 5 months? You got to have a passion to do this kind of stuff, and you got to want to do it, you know, long term, and have a long term goal, you know. And some people, they just do it for fun and it grows and it explodes, and God bless them, that's great. But, you know, for me, I had something that I was super passionate about, something that I knew I wouldn't want to get burnt. I wouldn't get burnt out with over, you know, a span of, you know, 3, 4, 5 months, because I enjoy doing those shows.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just say, you know, have a passion, stick with it, even in the difficult times.
This is an important point. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to stay with it. Because
even in the difficult times.
Even if you go through this, for example, and you feel like you've got no material, I think at least for a year you got to stick with it, because then people can see you. You've got a stream of content, and so maybe, you know, I just threw up the idea of like doing an anthology like this, but maybe this saves my show, because imagine what is the alternative to that?
Nothing.
Not doing anything for 2 months, and that would, my show would die. I don't know if I want to do that.
you know?
No, I agree with you. You know, sticking within, even for me, like, this is, it is extremely frustrating, number one, just because there's no baseball and I love the sport and I look forward to this every single year. But just for, like I said, from a show standpoint, it's very difficult, man. Like, I've been wanting to do this for years. I finally was able to do it, and I really can't.
But
really can develop a show the way I want.
Yeah, I got you.
But you got to stick with it.
But that's where I would say take the opportunity and relish the challenge too, because you can come up with ideas. And you know what's interesting? A lot of the best ideas we've ever had on this show, the Dave Show, have come because of limitations, you know, somewhere else along the chain. For example, like, you know, technical difficulties created some of the biggest memes on our show, like that vid thing. And and I remember that when we, you know, our show used to be like 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So now we did them 2 hours because it was live. You know, we did them because
I remember
we
you had
real
the chat
time.
Room and everything. I remember that.
Yeah. And I remember we would divide the hour. And this whole meme just came out of me trying to kick the other guy off there so we could get to the junk man.
Yeah.
So it'll happen, I think. It's sometimes they
happen organically.
Yeah.
And
it can be a blessing in disguise. Did you know that the random questions didn't even start as a Kevin and Dave segment? I was just doing them on the chat. And one day he calls in with a question and we just start talking for like an hour.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, dude, it happens organically. Yeah. And that's what with having a baseball season, I figured I would find my way and find my niche on certain things I could do, certain different merch ideas, certain different segments, and just my reaction on certain things. I figure that things would happen organically that unfortunately are not happening right now. So I don't know, man. I mean, I'm going to stick with it. I mean, I've looked forward to doing for a long time.
Yeah.
Eventually. But the scary thing is, Dave, for me is – it is now, I don't even know what date it is. What is it? April? It's April 20th. And we might not have baseball at all in 2020. So we're looking at another year from pretty much last month of no real baseball. So, like, it's been so difficult over the past, say, 2 or 3 shows. How am I going to do this over a year to fill content on a show over a year if there's no baseball? You know, obviously you have the winter meetings and all that stuff. That'll get a lot easier with the free agency and who's going where. But, you know, during that period, what are you going to do? Talk about the same player for 3 weeks until he signs? It's not going to be the easiest thing. And that's what I was thinking about today, where I'm struggling now. I might be in the same boat in August where there's been still no baseball and not much to talk about.
But maybe we can get to that bridge when we cross it. Like, I think
I hope so.
It's
I
tough,
so.
Right, to see that now, but the way things are going, it feels like certainly getting people into a stadium probably will take until at least September.
Yeah,
like, that's like a minimum. But getting being able to like resume your regular lifestyle again, go to work, go to restaurants, I don't feel like that's too far away right now.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
I hope I get some kind of baseball to talk about. But, I mean, in reality, you know, I have to look at it, and we said it on my podcast. We're looking at this season, if it does happen, as entertainment. It's going to be extremely different. It's not going to be a real baseball season.
Well,
we are not going to get a real baseball.
Like, you know, it's not just the Yankees, but, man,
the Lakers.
Well, oh, the Lakers, too. I forgot about that. Yeah. I
was you guys got bets.
We had bets. We had LeBron and the Lakers. You know, it really hasn't sunk in how much of a kick to the butt this has been for me as an LA fan. I didn't even think of that. Like, it's like,
It's gonna, right? Even for me too. Like, it hasn't sunk in right now that, you know, I'm missing Garrett Cole's first year. LeMahieu will be a free agent. Britton will be a free agent. Paxton, Tanaka. Yeah. We're going to be missing a lot of guys.
The Lakers were on their way to making the championship.
Exactly.
They really were.
Especially after the whole Kobe saga. LeBron literally went to a different mode when he beat the Warriors and then he beat the Clippers all within like a week.
Yep.
And then you figure, okay, they're about to do something crazy. And then down goes the seat.
That stinks. So,
reality will set in for all of us at some point, and we're going to be extremely pissed off. Right now, I'm just more concerned about people's healths and work and just maintaining and things like that. But
I guess that just goes to show how relatively trivial sports ultimately is, because
that we haven't even thought about that in about a month. Maybe that does give you an idea that maybe
especially what's going on in the world. There's more.
Yeah, definitely. You know? I'm definitely feeling that way. You know, some of my friends keep talking about, well, are they going to do football? Are they going to do this and that? And like, I don't, at this point, I don't care. Like, I'm just like, if they do, they do. But
You hope.
But you hope so. I mean, you want it, but I'm more interested in, can we have jobs again? Can people have jobs again? Yeah. I was very disappointed. Well, not really disappointed, but saddened more than disappointed. I'm not disappointed because I'm able to work. I'm thankful for that. But it's very sad to hear that my position where I can work from home only represents, what, like a quarter of the population of America? That's like unbelievable. But it's, I guess it's true.
It's crazy. And hopefully the economy bounces back once everything is
I don't know.
It's over.
I mean, I think they can. I mean,
Me too.
Traveled through a lot of bad recessions. Yeah. Like, we had one in 2008. Yeah. We had one.
That was a bad one.
Yeah, and we've had a bunch of them. So I wouldn't rule that out. But it'll be tough. I mean, some of my precious restaurants are probably going to close. Other places. Yeah.
Nightlife places, like different bars and stuff that I don't think they're going to make it. So
yeah, that sucks.
I don't know. We'll see.
Well, Cap, this has definitely been a lot of fun, and I would continue to keep the faith through the show. I don't give up on it. Obviously, you haven't been. That's great. And keep searching, and I think you'll find a good, like, you'll find a core, just like the Yankees did themselves in the 90s. You'll find...
Yes.
And eventually, there will be baseball. I'm not even thinking about this year, but let's just think ahead to next year. I think by then, we'll be all right.
And
we'll see.
I think so, too, and I hope so. Dave, thanks for having me on. This was... Anytime I could get on a podcast or do my own episode, it's a nice escape from what's going on in the world today. And I was able to kind of get some feelings out that I'm, you know, hopefully some listeners can listen to and kind of, they wanted to start a podcast. And, you know, you're the guy I went to number one. So as soon as I really said, fuck it, I'm going to do this, you know, I was texting you, calling you. You were a big help, so I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. So I think, I hope a lot of people listen to this episode and get, you know, some good insight on, you know, what's needed and, you know, some different tips that can help.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and you said talking about listening, I feel like that is a key to a good show. Like when you, as a host, can listen to your guest and get to know what they have to say, I think listening is a huge part. It's the part that nobody hears, as you know, the audience doesn't hear, but the ability to listen on a program is really crucial. Because you're not only listening to what someone's saying, but you're also getting a cadence and you're getting timing and you're getting a feel for how long is it going to take for someone to finish a sentence, as an example. And these things, these things that nobody really thinks about, but
comes with time too.
It does.
I'm still trying to get that down.
And as a host,
a little difficult.
You will eventually be really, really keeping track of that in the back of your head all the time. Let me ask you this: when you do a pod,
yes,
if you have like a really concrete topic, you're not going to always have this, but do you write up an outline? I do this for the biggest shows, like any preview show. That's where I make an exception to the 50 minute rule. Like a preview show can be 2 hours because that's a lot of material. You're covering like 30 teams. But do you do outlines for shows, or do you just generally just write down, okay, this is what it's going to be about, and then you just kind of have it on your
No, head. So I do. I write down key points. So for example, I did a show recently where I knew two topics was going to be Giancarlo Stanton and Gary Sanchez. And I kind of knew what my guest was going to say about him. So I put together points to combat what he was going to say. Because sometimes you'll forget things, or the show might go in a different direction and you never, you know, come back to that actual point you wanted to come back to. So yeah, I do. I write down kind of a outline of what I want my intro to be. And then whatever the topic is, I'll put notes down. So I'll put down, you know, what Gary Sanchez's rankings were from 2016 to 2019. You know, a lot of some of his stats and what you know, the big thing was going to be his free agent years. I put down what he's made since he's been a Yankee. So yeah, I do write notes. I wouldn't say an outline. I would just put notes on topics that I know that are going to be discussed.
Right. I think outline is. Maybe I think the way I visualize an outline is it's basically like, first you start an outline with what is the topic, what is the actual title of the show, basically.
Right.
And then you have like subsets of that. Like, well,
Let me give you an example. Like, I didn't do an outline for tonight because obviously this is just about the behind the scenes that we're already doing. So this is,
right.
There's nothing to write down in this case. But say you were doing a show on, let's say if you were going to do a preview of the NBA playoffs in another year, let's say. And so you have, all right, NBA playoffs preview. That's where you start. And then you can, like, get into Eastern Conference and Western Conference. That's, like, your next two layers.
Right.
And then you get into, okay, what teams are going to be the teams to talk about in each of these conferences or each of these series. And you can even put down the series. And you don't have to write a lot about it. Just, like, okay, this series, maybe, if you need to, you put a stat or two. But like you said, you don't have to follow it that closely.
Agreed.
It just depends on, like, where the conversation goes. So you can't be... And that's one thing I sometimes still have to learn myself. Like, I can't be too tight to that outline, because if we're really getting into a topic, let's say the MVP race between LeBron and Giannis, for example, like that was we just have, like, whoever it is, Chris or whoever is on the show with me, we're doing we're just going on for like 10 minutes about it. Like, this is where you want to hang. A good example of that on the show we actually did was when Popes and I, Chris, Sports Pope, Chris in Georgia, and I were really getting into the Clippers' new arena. And that wasn't really planned. Like, we kind of wrote it down at the point, but we really got into that, and it wound up being a very unique twist to our coverage that I don't think a lot of, like, actual shows were really doing. And I was really proud of that. I think that was a really interesting sidebar that really became a very interesting topic. So I would say to you, don't be afraid of that. Go on tangents and let the tangents take you to really interesting places. And I think,
and that's why that goes back to us saying, you know, things will happen organically and will happen organically within the show. And the big thing is, my last thing is, be prepared. You will not lose credibility faster if I turn on a podcast and you're saying shit that is completely wrong. I won't listen to you again. So be prepared. If you're going to give stats, numbers, whatever it is, just be prepared.
That's a very interesting point, because this is one of the reasons why I don't get too deep into points and stats, because I feel like I have so much potential to get something like that wrong. So I never get too specific about a point, about some comment or stat. And I'm very quick to correct myself if I get.
You don't even have to go in depth, Dave. No. I'm just talking, like, in general. Like, if you're sitting there and you're telling me that, like, for example, if I'm bringing up Max Kepler.
Yeah,
and Max Kepler is not a big name, and people don't realize how good he is. And if I bring up Max Kepler to somebody, and they pretty much don't, he's not that good. He's a twin, this and that. Then you don't know what you're talking about, because Max Kepler is one of the better players in baseball that's not really known. And that kind of thing. And just being prepared. If you're going to give a hot take or an opinion, just have some facts or be prepared.
Exactly right.
Because if I'm listening to a show, because I've turned on some shows before, and I'm like, the hell are you talking about? There's no way. And then I'll listen to the episode after to see if, and they'll correct themselves. So, just be prepared. And that would probably be my last tip for everybody on here.
Yeah, I think that's great. And never be afraid to have a computer screen with Google ready, because sometimes you are going to have to follow up on things.
It's a must. I mean, to me, it's a must. I always have my computer up, because if somebody's going on a tangent, and whether I want to fact check or I want to add to it, I'll just double check my opinion and make sure that it's right.
And I'm
not always right. Believe me, I've made some little mistakes here or there too, whether it's with a year or with a player, with a date. So I'm not always right. I'm just saying, if you're going to continually go on your show unprepared, it's not going to come off really well. So
no, that's a very good.
Be prepared.
Absolutely, being prepared is key.
Yeah.
And you're doing that research for things other people talk about, and you do it for yourself too. Yeah, I absolutely do, because I just want to make sure I get dates right. I want to make sure that
exactly.
I at least am in the ballpark with some of this stuff. Let me ask you this: this follow up.
Yep.
And the question then is: so we're talking about how other people can get into something, and they could be right and they could be wrong. I was trying to remember what the heck I was going to ask you. I just forgot.
I'm wrong a lot. But
well, everybody, in essence, a lot of people are. Right, right.
Like, I think, I was talking today, I thought Sonny Gray was going to be just a great pickup for us for a number of reasons, obviously.
But that's a different topic. That's a different conversation.
Well, that's what I mean. Like,
that's like predictions. And who could be right about that all the time?
Exactly. Don't be afraid to do a prediction or give a take. Worrying about being wrong. Nobody's right. I mean, even the best general managers in the world, they miss a lot. I mean, don't be on there timid. You know, if you have conviction and you think something, say it. And if you're wrong, you're wrong. If you're right, you're right. But if you have facts to back up why you think it, it's going to sound a lot better than you just saying, I think this is going to happen. Somebody says, well, why? And you're like, just because I do. Then, you know, that doesn't sound as good. So.
Yeah. No, I think those are all really, really solid. Too bad I can't remember what I was going to ask you. It was very interesting. I love the question and I forgot it. So that will happen. And don't be afraid to admit mistakes either, because if that does happen, being humble about it and honest is going to gain a lot of respect.
Nothing annoys me more than somebody who thinks they're never wrong. I mean, somebody who does not admit they're wrong. That's very,
you know, and it doesn't just happen on media. It happens in real life too. Like, you ever meet friends who just cannot admit they're wrong about something, even if they're clearly wrong about something?
Yeah.
And how do you approach that? It's like, I just have to let it go in a lot of cases, because it's just going to be it's going to get nuclear if I ever end up actually challenging somebody on, especially if it's sports. I just don't want to.
There's some people, kind of, you say the sky's blue, and they'll be like, well, no, it's not.
Yeah.
You know,
even if you prove it to them, hey, this thing said this, and then they still are like, well, I'm still right. Like, why are you still right?
Yeah, I've come across people like that, and it's frustrating. Tough. And it just makes you not want to debate with them anymore, because it's like, why am I just going to debate with you if you're never going to admit you're wrong? It's not fun, that's
a bad conversation too, isn't it?
Exactly. Like, that's why I never wanted to have that on my, want to do that on my show. I've already, I'm sure, in episodes admitted I was wrong about players or takes or whatever it is. So, I mean, that's the fun part, you know, that's the fun part, you know, predicting and making takes and then, you know, seeing what happens. Nobody nobody can predict the future pretty much.
No, exactly. You know, it's the very interesting, and it's a good part of the challenge when you're doing a show like this, is that when you run into people like that and you have to roll with that as best you can so the flow of the show doesn't completely grind a halt. And so that's hard, because sometimes they're so adamant about being right about something. And then it just gets difficult on your end, because you're like, well, this isn't really a conversation now, is it? You're just kind of making a point, and then you're just kind of forcing us to just buy into it. And that's not a conversation. So I'm just going to tell you this. You're going to run into somebody like that in the course of the show at some point. To the degree I don't know, but it will happen. And the best you could do in a situation like that is just, like, you know, run with it for now. But then just, like, after the show, you're like, all right, so that guy, he's kind of...
He won't be on again.
And
that's all part of growing a show, you know, finding your way. And even like the best, whether it's radio shows or TV talk shows, they all had to find their way. And that's what, you know, I'm hoping to do eventually, and what you already did. Yeah. And if anybody out there is looking to start a podcast, don't get discouraged. Stick with it. And, you know, hopefully everybody will find their way.
Yeah. And the reason I bring that up is because in the end, what you're doing, I think, what you want to do is you want to get to know somebody even before you put them on. Like, and I think that helps a lot. It cuts out a lot of that potential awkwardness. Getting to know people before you even have them on the show, I think, is a really good way to approach that, finding that person to have. I think you start by just talking to them in text or offline or just however else you can do it.
Yep.
And if you feel like you've got a good person, you know, you've got a good mesh of personality, good conversation going, this is the point where you can say, okay, this guy is probably good for a podcast. But you're not going to find out with everybody. You know, you're going to be good friends with people even. And perhaps they're not as great in terms of sustaining a conversation for more than like a couple paragraphs.
You and I have become good friends from message boards and podcasting, and we've been friends for years now. So, I'm sure you'll develop relationships with different guests, different listeners, different things like that. So,
but I think that also answers the question of why do I not have more people on the show than I do? Because
you're comfortable.
Exactly. Not just the comfort, but you know that you know what you're getting. You know how good they can be, and they bring so much to the table in terms of getting to a topic. And so I mean, I'm always going to be looking for new people to add to the universe of any of my podcast.
Sure.
And I'm sure you'll do the same.
Absolutely.
But I think a good guest is first a good friend, I think, in a lot of cases. Not all the time, but I think in a lot of cases that is how it is. So that's,
I agree.
I'm sorry I extended that like 10 minutes like that.
But, no problem. No problem.
But I appreciate your insights, too. This has been a lot of fun. And hopefully it's been fun for the listener, too. Just hope we offer you guys some good tips. And
it's been fun, man. Thanks for having me on. And anybody listening wants to listen to Baseball Yankee Podcast, you know, I'm on my podcast is the LGY Podcast, also known as the LGY Pod. Find us on Apple Music, through all streaming services, and go follow the LGY Pod on Instagram. Dave, thank you so much for giving me this platform.
Absolutely.
This has been a lot of fun, and hopefully we could do a show next year, maybe at this time, and we can do how our podcast has grown since this episode.
Hey, I like that. I like that.
Yeah,
that would be a really engaging program, and so I wish you the best of luck in the meanwhile, and anytime you need advice on anything, just hit me up.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Dave. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. All right, take care, man. That's Cap. That's our show tonight. Jerry, was great as usual. I do want to remind everybody that we are going to continue. We're going to continue our anthology series. And next time out, we're going to be back with the letter Q. And you know what Q means. Q means quarantine. So Kevin on the Cape's back with us again. You're going to love it. Can't wait for that. Stay tuned for all of it and the rest of our A to Z anthology series. I am once again Dave Medina. This is once again Dave in the City. This has been once again our show. You can once again follow us on Twitter at DidCal. You can once again go to our website at didcal.com. You can once again go to our podcast feed at Dave in the City Out West and once again give us a good review. We'll see you once again next time.